about concentrating with the clapping and the ringing. It was great to see all of you smiling as you're singing. So today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Now in that same region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the word of God.
Let us pray together. Lord our God, thank you for this beautiful day and thank you for the opportunity to express our joy in you, our joy in your Son Jesus, our joy in this time and this season. I pray, Lord, that at this time you will bless us with your word and that the message you have for us today will truly find meaning in our own lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So for this year's Advent and Christmas, I'm using four popular Christmas songs as inspiration for the sermons, for the messages. And last week we focused on O Come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means, Vic explained it very well to you at the Advent dinner, it means God with us. And we saw how Jesus, who became God with us, meets some of our deepest needs, our need for a relationship with the divine, our need for someone to save us from our sin and our guilt, and our need to have God as a constant companion. Now, I think the attitude of joy is kind of unusual in our contemporary world. We like to sing, you know, joy to the world. And it's one of the most popular Christmas songs. As a matter of fact, someone requested it the other night as well at the dinner. And it's based on the vision of Psalm 98, which is to bring joy to the people. Joy to the world inspires us to look forward to the future. It's really talking about the second coming of Christ. A time when sin will finally be evicted and all of humanity will bask in the glory of the Almighty's righteousness. And so the message is we must hope and rejoice because the future will be bright. And so we sing this popular song during this time of year, but it's not hard to notice that most people aren't really all that joyful. So let me see something quickly. I want you to be very, very honest about this, okay? How many of you feel on the inside, something like, I'm going to be glad when Christmas is over. How many of you feel like that about Christmas? Yeah, I can understand that, okay? Because this is a very busy time of the year with a lot of stress. And even though most of us, most people are happy about the season, there are others who dread it because it only intensifies their loneliness and their sadness. So how can we experience joy during this busy and stressful season? How can joy to the world become joy in my world? The Apostle Paul says, be full of joy in the Lord always. I will say again, be full of joy. How does that happen, to be full of joy? I mean, wouldn't it be great if for the rest of this Advent and Christmas season, people will look at you and say, you know what, you're full of it. You're really full of it. You're full of joy. Full of God's joy in your life. So let's learn something from the shepherds at the very first Christmas. First of all, we need to expect joy. If you're going to be joyful or want to experience joy, you somehow have to expect it. Because I don't think you can experience joy without expecting it. And so what do I mean by that? You see, most people expect anything but joy in their life. They look at their lives and what's happened to them and think, I'm just not a candidate for joy. Maybe somebody else is. Somebody out there who's lying to themselves and pretending that there's no bad in life, but not me. Or maybe you look at yourself and what you've done to yourself, you know? Not what somebody else has done to you, but what you've done to your own life. And you think, I've messed it up. I'm not a candidate for joy. Well, God wants you and I to expect a certain kind of joy in our lives, not because of what we do, but listen to this, but because of who He is. But let me clarify something first. It's easy to confuse happiness and joy. Sometimes we chase after happiness so hard that we miss out on the joy. And they are two different things. One is temporary, the other is eternal. The truth is, you can have joy this Christmas season no matter what. There may be some things in your life you cannot change. There probably are. You can still have joy. There may be some people in your life who have disappointed you or will disappoint you one more time this Christmas season, but you can still have joy. There may be some things about your own life that you've messed up, and or maybe you're dealing with illness or hurt or loneliness or other difficult circumstances. You can still have joy because joy is not temporary, it's the eternal. Happiness is based on changing emotions and it's based on temporary circumstances. And that's why it never lasts. Our emotions always change. Our circumstances always change. That's happiness. Sometimes we're happy and sometimes we're not. But we can always be joyful because joy is based on God, on God's unfailing love, on God's eternal plan. Joy is based on God's presence in your life. And those are things that do not change. Those are things we can count on. And that's why we can experience God's joy. So how do we get there? Here we have the shepherds in Luke. We don't know their names. They were just shepherds out there in the field. But they experienced what? They experienced joy that first Christmas. And they make us realize that joy isn't elsewhere. It's here. Here's what we do. We think, I'll find joy if this happens, or joy is out there somewhere. It's not elsewhere, it's here. It says that night, some shepherds were in the fields nearby watching their sheep, and then an angel of the Lord stood before them. So they're out there in those fields watching their sheep, watching those flocks, and guess what? That's where God shows up. I mean, watching sheep, come on, that must be a boring job, don't you think? They just don't do anything exciting. And if sheep are boring in the daytime, just imagine watching them all night. Just blobs of white out there doing nothing all night long. As a matter of fact, sheep are so boring that to go to sleep, what do? We count what? We count sheep. That's how boring they are. So these guys, their job was there to be watching sheep all night. And right there in the middle of that dull and routine and boring existence, right there God showed up. And right there God gave them joy. In that moment of life, as normal, as business as usual, that's where they began to experience joy. Joy is not elsewhere, okay? It's here. You're not going to find it elsewhere. You've got to experience it right here, right where you are. What I'm saying is this, you don't have to go on a vacation to find joy. You're not going to find it there because vacations come to an end. So joy is available right here and right now. You can find it in your job. You can find it in your family. But how do we get there? How do you find joy in the here and the now? I like this verse from Psalm 31. It says, I'm radiant with joy because of your mercy. You've listened to my troubles and you've seen the crisis of my soul. He's saying, I've got troubles, God. I've got a crisis of the soul going on. But you listen to me and you see the crisis of my soul, and I'm radiant with joy. Why and how? He says, I would be glad and rejoice because of your constant love. Because you see my suffering. You see my trouble. You know it. And I have joy because of your mercy, God. Because of your love. That's how joy happens as a part of the here and the now. Now, I know that a lot of people have a crisis of the soul at Christmas time. It's a tough time of the year for many. A great time of the year for many people, but a tough time for a lot of other people. And in the middle of that, God can bring you His joy. When you recognize that He is merciful, that He's loving. And so He's merciful and He will be with you. If you've messed up this last year, He's merciful. He will forgive you. If someone else has messed up your life this last year, He's merciful. He'll give you the power to forgive and experience joy again. If circumstances aren't working out like you would want them to, He's merciful. He'll show you He has a bigger and a better plan. If you feel alone this Christmas, God is merciful. He will be with you. And that's what Christmas is all about. That's what God wants to do for your life. He wants to give you His joy. But it isn't elsewhere. It's right here in your life. God comes to you right now where you are to bring you joy. Joy isn't elsewhere. It's here. Another lesson we learn from the shepherds is that joy isn't found, it is sent. It's not found, it's sent. Some people think, I've got to have more joy in my life, so I'm going to find it. I'll spend whatever it takes. I'll go anywhere. I'll do whatever I need to do, and I will find joy. But you're never going to find joy that way, because it's not found. Joy is not something I can summon up on my own energy or strength or power of my own money. It is sent into my life with God's love. That's why we just sang, I've got joy down in my heart. You cannot buy joy. It has to be brought into your life. You can't sell it. It has to be sent into your life. Joy is sent into your life by the love of a God who came in the person of Jesus Christ. God sent Christ so that we can experience joy. And I don't want you to miss who this joy was first sent to. It says in verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I'm bringing you good news. That'll be great joy to all the people. The joy was sent first to some shepherds, simple shepherds out in the field. Think about that. This is the most important birth announcement that is ever going to be made in human history. It's not made in some palace somewhere, but out there in the field with some simple shepherds. And if God will come to the shepherds, to these simple and smelly people, He will come to every person in this world. And it says in this verse, it is good news of great joy for all people. If you've written yourself off, by the way, and said, well, I can't expect joy because of this or because of that, how I grew up or what I did or what somebody else did, well, that's not true. You can't expect joy too. Good news of great joy for all people. You might be looking at yourself and thinking, I'm not a candidate for joy because of what I've done or what other people have done or what this world is like. God brought them joy, and He can burst into your life this Christmas time. But it's not something you do, okay? It's something you receive by God's mercy and His love. And so first of all, expect joy. You expect joy because God designed you to live this joyful life. But it doesn't end there. You have to make a choice. Because joy ultimately is a choice. It sounds simple enough, but it's got to be a daily choice. I have to make daily choices to allow this joy to flood into my soul. And again, the shepherds show us how. So first of all, we must choose to go and see. You choose to go and see. You have to check it out for yourself. Many people will tell you, well, nobody can really have joy in today's world. But you don't just listen to them or what somebody else says about joy. You have to see how it can happen in your life. You won't experience joy until you check it out for yourself. Why do you need to go see about joy? Because Bethlehem really happened. It's not something somebody just made up. It really happened. It changed the lives of the people that were there that day. God is real, and He wants to bring joy into your life. He wants your joy to be restored. And what we have to do is we have to go see every day. To see that Bethlehem really happened, we need to do what the shepherds did. After they had heard the message, the shepherds said to each other, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So what did they do? They went quickly and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a feeding box. Listen, the easiest thing to do is to stay right where you are and wonder What could have happened if only you'd gone and seen? That's a very safe place to stay, right? But the shepherds didn't stay there, and I encourage you, don't stay there. Go and see what God can do in your life. The reason many people don't have joy is because they're stuck in the fields outside of Bethlehem, wondering if it could ever happen. Go and see. Go and see what God can do in your life through His Son, Jesus. So where's the joy? It's in Bethlehem. The shepherds said, let's go to Bethlehem. That's where they found the baby Jesus. If you want joy, you go to Bethlehem and see what happens there. You don't go to Florida to find joy. Some of you think, well, that's where I'm going to find joy. If I just go on a nice vacation, I will find joy. Do you know what the problem is with a vacation? Do you know? Well, it ends, but also, when you go on a vacation, you take yourself with you. And you are the joy problem. So you go to Bethlehem to find joy, meaning it's got to happen in your soul. It's got to be down in my heart. Because salvation is personal. Hope is personal. Peace is personal. Joy is personal. And the only way to find it is in a person. And that's why Jesus came as a person. He came to Bethlehem to say, I want to give you personal joy, personal peace. I want to give you personal salvation and hope. If you want joy, you go to Bethlehem. You find someone who's real. Someone who really loves you. And that's where you find joy. You go and see. And then one thing. You go back and you rejoice. The shepherds went back to their fields, to their real life, to their messy life, and they found joy even there. The Bible says, then the shepherds went back to their sheep, praising God and thanking Him for everything they had seen and heard. So it is one thing to be joyful in Bethlehem. And when you're there for the miracle and Mary and Joseph and the baby and God Himself, they were joyful there, but then they went back to their fields, back to the smelly and boring sheep, and they found joy there as well. They not only went and saw joy, they took it into their lives. And that's what God wants for us, to take the joy home. Take it into your school, to take it into your work, to take it into your family. You experience genuine joy. Because when you open up your life for the joy and the peace and the hope and the love of Christ, it's not something that's just circumstantial. It's not something that's gone when something bad happens to you. It's better than any circumstance. And it's good enough for whatever life might throw at you. No matter what you lose or experience, you ultimately have something better. You have God's love for you. A love that's going to last for eternity. So happiness is based on changing emotion that's based on temporary circumstances. Joy is based on God's unfailing love. And you can count on that. It's based on His eternal plan and it will never fail you. You know, Jesus grew up, right? And He taught us about the life of hope and peace and joy and love that He offers. And the night before He died on the cross, He was talking to His followers. And He told them about what? He told them about joy. And he said, I've told you these things so that you can have the same joy that I have. And so that your joy can be the fullest possible joy. So let me close with this thought. The fields outside of Bethlehem and the manger where Jesus was born were probably about 1 or 2 miles apart. It was a very short distance between where those shepherds were and where joy was. And the same thing is true in our lives. You know, wherever you are right now, you might feel all alone. Or you might feel separated, or you might feel like there's no joy in my life. It's a very short distance to the place of joy. Because God's already come. He's already given himself for you. He's already restored the possibility of joy in your life. He already wants you to experience his joy. And if you think it's just wishful thinking and it could never happen, well, Bethlehem really did happen. Jesus really came. And as a result, we sing joy to the world. And he really wants you to experience his joy in a fresh and new way this Christmas. Make that your prayer. God, restore my joy. And then choose joy. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it's very true that when we look at our own lives and when we look at the world and the circumstances we face and the problems we have and all the things that happen, it's almost like we say, we can't have it. We can't have this joy. It's just not possible. If that's us, then I pray that your Spirit will change our hearts, that the miracle of Christmas and the joy and peace and love and hope that is wrapped up in your Son, that will be part of our lives, that it will penetrate us and be very real to us so that we can also to have the same joy that your Son has and that he offers to us. Thank you for this time of year. Give us your joy. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.